Hello, I'm Mike Salem. My dad, Pastor Salem, loved to spread the good news of Jesus to provide hope and encouragement to people all over the world through his biblical teachings and sermons. You will experience that truth from God's Word in today's message. Now let's join Pastor Salem.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. We're just so happy to come and just thank you for opening your doors and letting us come in. We just love to come and visit you. I wish we could come personally, but we just can't do that. It's impossible. But you know what? When we all get to heaven, we're going to have time and we're going to see each other and we're going to meet each other and shake hands. And oh, I just can't wait to get there. But until then, we keep preaching and serving the Lord. Every one of us has something to do for Jesus. And so today we're going to be preaching. We're talking about the Savior as the King of Kings. And we're doing that because this is Palm Sunday. And on Palm Sunday, we have the riding of Jerusalem, Jesus into Jerusalem. And so we're going to see the King. What are the, just look at the Jesus as the King and our relationship to Jesus. But before that, we do that, I want to read some letters. And I just thank you for your letters. And I hope more of you will write. We just love to hear from you. And I want to tell you something. We read every letter we get. And if you have a spiritual question, will I know my loved ones in heaven? Or you might have a question like, can you lose your salvation? Now, that's a question that most people ask. Of all the questions, can I lose my salvation? I have written a 12-page booklet on that, just getting it done now. And if you want a copy of it, you write. I'm going to give the address just a little bit now. And you send it a free will offering. Give an offering if you can. Now that we have people that can't give offerings, we hear from many, many prisoners all over the United States, from Alaska to New Mexico, all over the states. And so they'll ask for those booklets, and a lot of them don't have money, so we help them out. So you just write in us if you can help us, all right. But it's, can your Christian lose their salvation? And you just say, I'd like the booklet on salvation. Just put salvation. We'll know what you mean. And I'm going to give you the address right now before I forget. It's the Christian Worship Hour. The Christian Worship Hour. And the box is real easy to remember. It's 2002 in Aberdeen, South Dakota. And our zip code is 57402. And I hope that you'll write to us, and then we'll, and those of you on shortwave, you be sure to drop that down, box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota. Now let's look at some of the letters. This first one comes from Chicago, and it says it is refreshing to know that your ministry was without fanfare, but shows your concern for kingdom building, that is, bringing souls to Christ. May God continue to bless sincerely with the love of God. And that's exactly right. There's no fanfare with a Christian Worship Hour. It's just plain old everyday people preaching the wonderful, glorious Word of God. That's exactly what it is. And then here's Weldon, Iowa. Seems like the world is turning darker day by day. Keep on shining the light of the Lord with your sermons and songs. Thanks to you and your staff. And so here's a wonderful thing about this letter, and that is, we can bring light because Jesus is the light of the world. And when we preach the Word of God, we bring light to spiritual hearts that are blackened and darkened and can't see. And the light of the world, the light of the gospel, the light of Jesus will shine through. Here's Omaha, Nebraska. Your example of running the race with all that is in you has encouraged me to do the same thing. I'm getting on in years with all the aches and pains that go with advanced age, and make it easy to sit back and feel sorry for oneself. But you and the Holy Spirit worked in concert to give me the swift kick I needed to get busy and get back into the race. Thanks. Praise the Lord. Well, that's the Lord's doings. I don't even know, he lives in Omaha, Nebraska. God bless him. But you know, that is exactly right. The Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and applies it to hearts. And whether it's serving the Lord in old age, or whether it's coming to Jesus for salvation, or whether it's to stop worrying or stop sinning a certain thing in your life, it's the Holy Spirit using the Word of God. That's where the power is. Here's one from Colorado Springs, Colorado. Thank you for the new song. I've read it many times. The new song. What's the new song? Well, the new song is a little publication we put out every month. It's a little Bible study, for one thing, this month, we're talking about the resurrection of Jesus, results of the resurrection of Jesus. And there'll be a little Bible study each month. And then there'll be the sermons, and there'll be the texts there, and there'll be excerpts from letters, and you will love it. And the new song, we really ought to charge for it, but we don't. We're big-hearted, and we'll send it free and postpaid. And you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. Let me give you that address so you don't forget. Christian Worship Hour, and the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, good old South Dakota, 57402. And then here's one more letter I want to share with you, and that is Marshalltown, Iowa. Thank you for your faithful service as we who are in assisted living, nursing homes, and independent facilities listen to the gospel preached and that have a sermon. All my family are in heaven, and I can hardly wait for the Lord to come or for him to take me home. And I tell you, we do hear from people in retirement homes, and that's one of our big things in our ministry. We have three things that the Christian Worship Hour wants to do. First of all, we want to glorify God. That's the main thing. The second thing, we want to help people come to know Jesus personally, not know about him personally. And the third thing, comfort ye my people, God's people. We want to encourage them. And boy, we got them in the nursing homes. We got them in retirement homes. We got them in regular homes that are maybe they're having problems with the children, maybe with their money. Well, I don't know what it is. The devil afflicts us in so many ways. And we're so happy that we can bring the gospel to these people. And we thank all of you who are helping us, because we sure can't do it by ourselves. Now we want to look at this story called the Triumphal Entry. It's when Jesus rode into Jerusalem. You all know the story. And Jesus, and we call it the Palm Sunday, because they broke down the palm branches, strewed it in the path, put the garments in the path, and Jesus rode a little donkey into Jerusalem. And it was just hours before his crucifixion. And so when you look at this, it's the Lord Jesus coming, and he is the King of kings, and he is the Lord of lords. And the day is going to come when every knee is going to bow, and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so this great King of kings, he's going to ride into a donkey, on a donkey, into Jerusalem on a donkey. And the first thing we want to see in this story is the king has a need. Jesus has a need. He needs a way of transportation. He needs this donkey. And he tells his people, the Lord hath need of him. He says, you go to a certain place and you get this donkey and bring him here, because the Lord hath need of him. Now, I can say to you today, if you're a Christian, the Lord has need of you. And you say, oh, well, I could never preach, and I don't sing, and I don't play the piano, and what good am I? Well, you are very, very valuable. If you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, you're a part of the body of Christ, and every part of that body is important, and you are important. And the Holy Spirit has given you a gift, something you can do, and says, just do that. And you say, well, I don't know what it is. Well, just start serving, helping other people, and serving Jesus, and helping in your church or wherever. And you'll find out, I like to do this. I'm able to do this. I'm finding joy in this, see? And so the Lord hath need of you. And that's kind of a strange thing to say, isn't it? Because here it is, Jesus Christ. And he's created all there is. There's nothing here. The evolutionist says we come out of hot air. And that's what evolution is, hot air. And so out of that hot air, they say something comes, and they got all different ways. And lo and behold, there's a man standing there with a woman. And the way we go, see, they don't tell you where anything comes from, material comes from, nothing. They just talk. Well, here we know where it comes from, because we're told in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16, says, Christ himself is the creator who made everything in heaven and earth. The things we can see and the things we can't see. The spirit world with its kings and kingdoms, its rulers and authorities, all were made by Christ for his own use and glory. And so Jesus has a right to make a call. And when he comes to you and he says that I need to have you helping me, I need to have you working for me. And you say, I don't owe you anything, God. Oh, don't you? Well, you know, if God says so, stop breathing. You won't take another breath. If he puts his finger on your heart, it won't take another beat. Your pulse will go down so fast, you'll set a record. There's just absolutely, we're very, very foolish when we say we don't need God. And then an atheist says there is no God. Well, you know what God says about that? God says that that he's a fool. If he says there's no God, he's a fool. Now, I didn't say that. God said that. So your argument is with God, not me. But the point I'm trying to make is we all owe something to God that we have. We are here for his glory. And the first thing is to accept his son and make him the Lord of our life. And if you've done that, then you follow on and work with him. And look what he did. He took a donkey, a lowly little old donkey. I've been in the Middle East. They're all over the place. You can get them, buy them for a little of nothing. They say that the donkey is the Holy Land Jeep, and the horse is the Holy Land Jet. And they can't afford a camel or a horse, so they take the Jeep. Well, they're everywhere. And that God is saying, I don't care who you are. I don't care what you know. I don't care if you have degrees or not. I don't care if you finished school or not. I don't care if you can read or write or not. I can use you in my service, and I want you to come to me, and I want you to trust me, and I want to put yourself in my hands. And look at with me preaching. I'm a child of the Depression, raised in Western South Dakota, and then we were so poor, the poor people called us poor. We lost our farm, but we didn't lose Jesus, see? So if he can use me, he can use anybody. And so you just trust Jesus, see? And give yourself and say, dear Jesus, like the little boy with the fish and the loaves, it isn't much, but in your hands it'll be a lot. And God will take you and he'll use you in ways you don't know, and you won't know until you get to heaven. And then you'll say, oh, look at, isn't that beautiful? Jesus used me to help somebody come to know Jesus. And then I want you to look at the fact that the king has authority. And when you read this story, and by the way, you can read it in Mark chapter 11. And just maybe you want to do that when you're done with the service. Don't do it now because we're not done with our sermon. And you might miss something. Then again, you might not miss anything. But take a chance and see what happens. And so when you look at this passage, you'll find that the king's authority. He says, I need a donkey. I need a little donkey to ride on. And so he says, you go and you tell him, parting of the ways, and you take that donkey. And there'll be somebody there, and they'll say, what are you doing taking that donkey? And then you tell him, the Lord hath need of him, and he'll let it go. So they went, just like Jesus said, there's the little donkey. He's tied up. They untie him. There's the man. What are you doing? The Lord hath need of him. Oh, fine. Go ahead. See, that's the way God does it. The king has all authority. And I'm going to tell you something right now, dear friends, that you are, you know, in America especially, we like to say, I'm my own king. I can do what I want. Nobody tells me. I'm free. I'm free of everything. I'm free of God. You're not free of God. You belong to God. Whether you want to or not, whether you know it or not, you belong to God. And you're going to have to give an account to God. And I'm going to tell you something just in passing about this mother having the choice on an abortion. I'm going to tell you that mother doesn't have that choice. God gave that life and God will take that life, and we don't have any right to do it. And if you've had an abortion, you go to Jesus and ask him to forgive you and take away your sins, and he'll forgive you and he'll write it off and you never have to face it. But the point I'm trying to make is that he is the king. And you need to listen to him. And oh, they take his name in vain. And they act like he isn't there. And they just are so terrible in their actions toward God. And what do they come up with? They come up with an empty basket every time. And God tells us that someday the whole world is going to have to kneel and bow their head and confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They'll have to do that in hell. They won't get out of hell. Because if you're ever going to get a keep out of hell, if you're ever going to get to heaven, you have to do it before you die. And what do you have to do? You have to accept Jesus. Jesus says, I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father. Nobody gets to God but by me, Jesus. I love the church. I spent all my life in the church. I love the church. I love preaching. I love all of the rest of it. And I love baptism. I love all the rest of it. But I'm going to tell you something. The way to heaven is not an organization or a ritual or a rite. It is a person. A person. Do you know Jesus? and you don't know him unless you've accepted him. And you say, well, how do I accept him? Well, how do you accept anybody? Jesus says, I'm standing at the door, I'm knocking, and I want entrance. If you open the door, I'll come in. And as many as received him in John 1:12, they become the children of God. You're not a child of God till you receive Jesus. So you say, how do I receive him? Well, how do you receive anybody? You just open the door and say, come in. And you say, Jesus, please come into my life and take away my sin. And I'll turn from my sin the best I can. That's repentance. Jesus taught repentance. He said, go and sin no more. That means doesn't mean we'll be sinless, but he says, try to keep out of sin. Live for me the best you can. And so you just say, oh, dear Jesus, come into my heart and take away my sin. And I'll live for you the best I can. And then you thank him. Thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul. I was 10 years old when I accepted Jesus. It's as clear as if it was yesterday, 85 years ago. And a child can do it, and you can do it. And with my kind of preaching, you can understand it. You won't miss it, because I don't know any big words, and I had one I couldn't pronounce it, so I skipped it. Didn't know what it meant anyway, so who cares? But you can understand what I'm saying. I'm saying you have to be born again like Jesus did. And to accept to be born again, you have to have Jesus, have to accept him. And that's what the King is saying. Jesus is the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. And he has all, and here he is calling upon you to come to him and rely upon him. So then look at this wonderful King. He's one who cares for us. He's gentle and he's kind and he's loving. And he's a one of meekness. He says, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. He says, I'm lowly and I'm meek and I'm weak. I'll help you. And he's just on the same level as we are. He will come and he'll receive us where we are. He's not high and mighty. And he is the good shepherd and he loves you. And do you ever hear anybody preach, God loves you? That's exactly right. But, he loves you just so long. And once you die, once you come to that grave, you have no more choice. God loves you and he will love you until you come to death. And if you don't have Jesus in your heart, if you haven't asked Jesus into your heart, you'll have eternal hell. That's exactly what Jesus said. And it's told in the book of Hebrews, after death, the judgment. That is, after we die, it's all settled. It's heaven or hell. It's not in between. It's not a second chance. It's not a back door, side door, anything else, elevator, escalator, whatever you want. It's one time. And so this wonderful love of God carries us up until our grave. And then if we are Christians, if we accept Jesus, then that love never ends. And it goes beyond the grave into eternity forever and ever. It'll never end. But when you hear these people saying, God loves you, he wouldn't put you in hell. No, he wouldn't. You put yourself in hell. How do you do that? You won't receive Jesus. I don't need Jesus. I'm good enough. I can get by. I've done some good things. I don't kick the dog and I give him a bone. And I'm halfway decent to my wife. I could be better, yeah, and so on. And you think all the good things you did, and some of the list might be kind of short, could be long. Doesn't matter to God. The only thing that matters is, have you accepted Jesus? Have you had your sins washed away in the blood of the Lamb? That's the way it was in the Passover. Jesus says the death angel is coming through the land. And when I come, I will look for the blood. I won't look to see if you're on the church rolls. I won't look to see if you're good or bad or indifferent. I won't look at the color of your skin. I am going to look and see if there's blood on the doorpost, if the blood has been applied. And we apply that blood when we accept Jesus, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. And somebody says, they'll always say to me, oh, you don't know my sins. I've sinned against light. I knew it was wrong. I knew it all the time, but I did it anyway. I wish I wouldn't have, but I did it. It's done, and there's no hope for me. I've committed the unpardonable sin. Now, I want to tell you about the unpardonable sin in passing. You can't commit it. The only time you could possibly commit it is when Jesus was here in the flesh. You haven't committed the unpardonable sin, because Jesus tells us that whosoever will call upon his name will be saved. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, and if there's one single person committed an unpardonable sin, you can't say whosoever. And he says, whosoever will may come. So so you can come. And Isaiah put it so well in God's, he says, come now. He says that God is saying, don't put it off. You know, I'm going to tell you something. I can tell you exactly what's happening in your heart. I've been in this work 85 years, 72 years, and I can tell you something. The Holy Spirit is talking to you, and you're saying in your heart of hearts, I ought to open up to Jesus, I ought to call on his name. And then you'll say, and then you'll think, well, no, I'll wait till my birthday. I'll wait till the anniversary. I'll wait till Easter. That's next Sunday. I'll wait. Why are you thinking that? Because the devil is telling you that. That's not the Holy Spirit. The devil will never tell you not to accept Jesus. He will never tell you to reject Jesus. What the devil will do is he'll say, don't do it now. Put it off. Put it off. So you say God would put us into hell. No, you put yourself there. You've had your chance. You're getting it right now. Maybe this is the first time you ever heard it. I don't know. But you've got your chance. And the ball is in your court. And you're going to have to decide. I want to follow Jesus. I want salvation. I want to be a child of the King. I want to serve Jesus Christ. I want to be his followers. I want to be in his camp. That's what you can decide. Or you can say, no, I don't need Jesus. And when I need Jesus, when I meet God in his fury on the throne, and in all of my sin, I'll tell him all the good things I did. You know, there's a story in the New Testament about that. And this man was invited to a wedding feast. You're all given a gown to wear. He didn't take a gown. He says, I'm good enough the way I am. And so he came in. And when the king came, of all those thousands and thousands of people, the king picked out that one man who didn't have that gown. And he came to that man and he says, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a garment? And the man says, well, I gave so much money here and I did that and I did that. No, no. You know what the man did? The Bible says he was speechless. And when you meet that great God Almighty, you're going to be speechless. And now is the time to make your peace because he's the Lamb of God. We preached about that just last Sunday, about the Lamb of God, wonderful Lamb of God. But once the time is ended and we meet him in the other world, he's going to be the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And he's going to say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. Not that I knew you and forgot you or knew you and sinned, because you'll never lose your salvation. And if you want a story, you want a booklet on that, you can write to us. We'll give you the address in just a minute. And so you can come to Jesus, but you have to have Jesus. And so we just preach. That's what the Christian worship hour is all about. We want to honor God. We want to just bring glory to God's name in everything we do in a very humble, very hometown way. We're nothing fancy about us at all. We're just telling it like it is. And we're preaching that wonderful word of God. Good grief, we heard from the politicians. Now let's see what God has to say. And we just preach that wonderful word of God. And we're praying to honor God. And then we're praying that you'll come to Jesus. You need Jesus. And when you come to Jesus and you accept him, I remember when I accepted the Lord, you know, you may have, maybe you'll have a lot of joy and maybe you'll be really happy. Maybe nothing. It's accepting Jesus Christ is a transaction. And the emotions can be there or they may not. They might or they might not be. It's a transaction. You're making a transaction where you say, I have decided to follow Jesus. I'm going to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And so I ask you, dear Jesus, to come into my heart and take away my sin. That's all it is. You know, I have these people that come to me and they say, oh, we're going to break up, the husbands and wives. We don't love each other anymore. And I tell them, well, what's that got to do with it? Doesn't matter whether you love or not. You made an agreement. You made a transaction. And you can love if you want to because God says, thou shalt love. He commands us to love. So you can love if you want to. So I'm just praying today, and we're talking to you the best way we know how. Come to Jesus. Now, every week when we pray for somebody, that our Christian brothers and sisters who may be in hard times. Some of them are losing their lives. And last week, we prayed for those in North Korea. Now we're going to pray for those in the Congo. But before I pray, I just want to tell you that we need your help to carry on this ministry. And so if you want to help us, you can write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. If you want to send us a gift on the internet, we're on christianworshiphour.com. And there's PayPal, and you can send money from anywhere in the world. And we do get gifts from other parts of the world. And it comes in American currency so we can pay our bills. And so if you think that this is a ministry that ought to be carried on, if you think God is in it, just ask God. And said, should I support these people with my prayers and my gifts? And then ask God what he wants you to do. Ask him if he says yes, ask him how much, and he'll lay it on your heart. You'll know. Just lean on the Spirit. Let the Spirit lead. Let God do his will. And then you write to us. If you want that book on salvation, Can I Lose My Salvation? You write to us at this address and just put salvation, and we'll send it on a free will offering basis. I'd love to do that. And so we're just praying that every one of you will just, I just pray that everybody that's worshiped with us today, everyone, every last one will pray to the call on the name of the Lord. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Oh my goodness, do we pray that. So you just do that. Now we're going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for being with us in this service. Thank you for your people that have tuned us in so many places. Well, we can't see them, Lord, but you can see them, and that's all that counts. And you're as close to them as you are to us. We thank you for those that are accepting you right now, and they're praying to Jesus to come into their heart and give them that assurance that comes when they trust Jesus, and that peace and that joy. And then for those who are on beds of sickness and wheelchairs, those are, Lord, some of them are suffering, and they're suffering from physical pains, emotional pains, some because of loneliness, and some because they've been hurt. Maybe the family hasn't come to see them. Oh, God, I don't know what it is. But I know that you know, and you're touched by our infirmities. And when we hurt, you hurt. And so help them to know that you are right there, and help them just to talk to you, and help them to know you said, I will never leave thee or forsake thee. And he says, and he also says, I'll be with you to the end of the age. I'll be with you as long as you live. And you'll always keep your word. Thank you, Jesus. Those in the Congo, bless and help them. Oh, God, help us all. And we just give you all the praise and thanks, because you are the one great, holy, heavenly Father, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Pray in that name, in Jesus' name. Amen.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.